help you pay attention and understand some of the things that we're going to be talking about, okay? Congregation, if you would turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Recently started this letter of Paul to the churches in Galatia. So we've reviewed who Paul is, what has happened to Paul, and what he's going to do to this church is he's going to tell his story again. He's going to remind them of what has happened to him, of how he's been changed, of how he's been saved, of how he's been rescued. So we're going to be looking at Paul's testimony and Paul's calling today. Paul's testimony and Paul's calling. Follow with me in Galatians chapter 1, and our text is going to be verses 11 through 24. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. For I, Paul, I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive the gospel from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently, tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace, when he was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, with flesh and blood, with man. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia, desert area, and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Peter, remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he, Paul, who used to persecute us Christians, is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. They glorified God because of Paul and the work that Christ had done for him. So when it comes to this letter, Paul is laboring the point. There's one point that he's trying to make. Paul wants them to know that his gospel and his calling come from Christ. That's what he's laboring. He says the gospel, the message that I preach, and the calling that I have received are from Christ and not man. Now remember last week we talked about why he's talking about these things. Paul goes into this region, preaches the gospel, people believe, converted, baptized. There are churches in this area. When Paul leaves town, other teachers show up to these churches in the area and start teaching another gospel. They start teaching another message. They start to teach a different kind of message. They start to question Paul, apparently. They're like, who is this Paul guy anyway? I mean, he's not an apostle. We know who the 12 apostles are, and Paul's not one of them. He came up with his message all on his own. He got it from some person somewhere. His message is not divine. His calling is not divine. His gospel is not divine. And these false teachers crept in and they started teaching the churches who once believed Paul and his gospel. They started teaching them a different way, a different kind of gospel that said faith in God, in Christ, and what Jesus has done for you. Yes, faith in that, but also, or in addition to, keeping aspects of the law. So it's Jesus and the law is how you are declared right with God. Well, that is not what Paul preached. That's why he's upset. That's why he's saying over and over and over in chapter 1 that he can't believe that they are entertaining the thought of following another message. He can't believe that they received his gospel that was true, good, and gracious, and real, and authentic, and pure, but they are so quickly turning from that gospel to believe and trust something else. So he wants to labor the point that his gospel, his message that he has preached and is preaching, is from Christ, and his calling as a preacher, as a missionary, as an apostle, a sent, commissioned one, is from Christ. Look in verses 11 and 12 and 16 and 17 for the point. I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me to you is not man's gospel. He's saying, I did not make it up. I didn't receive it from some other guy on the street. He's saying that Christ himself has appeared and revealed himself to me, gave me the gospel. I didn't receive it from any man, verse 12, nor was I taught it from any man, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus. Look at 16 and 17. God was pleased to reveal his Son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone or with other men with flesh and blood. I didn't go up to Jerusalem where the apostles were, but I went away into the desert to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So again, he's saying, I met Jesus Christ in person on the road to Damascus. He knocked me down with a bright shining light. He himself spoke. He himself changed, convinced, won my heart. My eyes were opened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I received a message of good news, great joy for all people, and I received it from Christ himself. Notice he says, right after this experience, right after he meets Christ on the road to Damascus, right after he has to be led into the city because he can't see, right after that he says, now listen, I didn't go talking to all these other people trying to get my facts straight. He said, I didn't go see Peter and James and all the other apostles. He said, I didn't go talk with them to see if what had happened to me was real or not. Paul is saying what happened was real, and I didn't have to go see them at first. He said, I didn't go down to Jerusalem to have a meeting with the apostles at first to see whether or not I was thinking rightly. He said, I met Jesus on the road, and Jesus called me, and Jesus gave me his gospel, and I went not to Jerusalem where all the apostles were, I went to Arabia where no one was. Why is Paul saying this? Because he wants his readers, he wants his people to understand that he's not just making stuff up. He's not just a parrot. He's not just saying what other people say. He wants them to know that he has been called of Christ, that he has been given a message and entrusted with the gospel message, and Jesus has called him. Not man, not the other apostles, not some other person. Jesus himself has called him. And he wants his readers to know that. So Paul's gospel and his calling to preach the gospel, they are from Christ, not man. Not man. Now this is good for us for this reason. It means that we can trust God's word. We do not put our faith in man's word. We do not put our faith in man's gospel. We do not put our faith in man's opinion. We put our faith and our trust in God's word. God's gospel. The good news of Christ. The next thing we see, the next point, is when we look at his conversion, Paul's conversion, Paul's calling is of grace. It's of grace. Now, to emphasize this, look at what he says and how he talks about his former life and how he describes coming to Christ. Notice what he says. His conversion, his calling are of grace. Grace. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. Look at verse 13 where he starts with his story. This is what our children's message was about. Here's the story of Paul. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. I was advancing and growing in Judaism, or the Jewish religion, beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. So, he's laboring the point that he was the best of the best. He was the most devoted of the most devoted when it came to the traditions of their fathers and Jewish religion ways, plus the tradition of their fathers. Paul is saying, I grew up in this and I was advancing beyond everybody that was in my age. What he's saying is, like, look, I was valedictorian of the class. I knew more than everybody. I was more passionate than everybody, and I knew so much, and I was so passionate that I did everything I could to go get those Christians who were calling on Jesus because they were wrong. Paul was convinced in the depths of his soul that these followers of the way, these disciples of Jesus, were dead wrong. And he was violent. He was not friendly. He bound them. And he delighted in their deaths. This is a man who, before he met Jesus, hated Jesus and the followers of Jesus. Hated them so much that he delighted in their destruction. And he was convinced on destroying the Christian movement. So think about this for a second. With all that in mind, when he meets Jesus, what if it would have went this way? Saul, Saul, I've seen what you're doing. I'm tired of what you're doing. You are a wicked, evil man, destroying my people. And you will be held accountable for what you have done to my people. As surely as you were violent toward them, I will be violent to you, Saul. As surely as you delighted in the Christians' destruction, I will delight in your destruction, Saul. What if it would have went that way? That would have been justice, right? He would have gotten what he deserved. That's not how it went, though. It's not how it went. The Lord comes to him in grace. Grace. He doesn't deal with Saul, Paul, as he deserved to be dealt with. He deals with him in grace. Verse 15 and 16 is his conversion. But when he, who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Paul's conversion and Paul's calling is all of grace. How far back does Paul go in speaking of his call? All the way before what? He was born. Or before I was in my mother's womb. Did Paul do anything in his mother's womb to earn favor with God so that God would choose him one day to carry the gospel to the Gentiles? Is that what happened? Paul's laboring the point that it was only grace. That it was only grace. That it was the wonderful, free favor of God in spite of all that I had done. In spite of being violent toward the church, in spite of trying to destroy the church, he had set me apart before I was born, and he called me by his grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is the free, the full favor of God. It's the free, full favor of God. Free meaning not earned. Paul didn't earn it in any way. He's earning judgment, not favor from God. He's the persecutor of the church. He's the one wanting the destruction of the followers of Jesus. But Jesus shows up because he had called him, set him apart before he was born, called him in grace, a free, a full favor of God. Free meaning not earned, not earned. He even labored the point of all of his works and all of his advancements, and he's the smartest in the class, and he's the most passionate, and he's the most zealous for God and this way of teaching. But in spite of that, God, in his free, full favor, because he had set Paul apart before he was born and called him unto himself with a free favor, not earned, but free favor given. And it's a full favor, grace is. Full meaning it's not lacking anywhere. God's grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. It's not lacking in any kind of way. It's not lacking. You look at this story of Paul and you tell me where grace is lacking in his life. Like, maybe it wasn't strong enough to convince him. This was a man dead set on not being convinced. But grace came. Grace found this man. He had been set apart. He had been called by the full, free favor of God. And God was pleased to make his son known to him. Make his son known. So we've got the free, not earned, full, not lacking, favor, not deserved. Paul deserved judgment on that road. And God would have been just in doing so to destroy Paul so that his church wouldn't be destroyed. But God gave grace there. God called him in grace. Why? We have the answer. So that you will preach to the Gentiles. He says, not only am I going to spare you, Paul, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to entrust the gospel to you, and I want you to go and I want you to tell all men, Gentiles, all nations, I want you to tell them the gospel. I want you to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to tell them that you met me. I want you to describe to them how I've changed your heart. I want you to tell them how you became convinced that I am the Son of God and the only Savior. So Paul's conversion, Paul's calling is of grace. Verses 13 through 16, you see that very, very clearly. What else do we see? You can bring up that next slide. It is one of grace, surely. It's one of grace. What happens as a result of God's grace in this man's life? What happens as a result of that? People that have never even met him, People that have never seen him face to face start to do what? They start to hear about God's grace in Paul's life. They start to hear. And the testimony that starts ringing out throughout the land is verse 23. They're hearing that he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Verse 24, and they glorified God because of me. You see, this grace had been given to Paul. He had been set apart before the womb. He had been called in time and space on the Damascus road. He was called into grace. He began to preach the gospel of grace, full, free favor of God. He began to preach it and proclaim it. And what starts to happen? People start to glorify God because of what he did in Paul's life. They're saying, man, have you heard what happened? You remember that Saul of Tarsus guy? Yeah, we were all trying to stay away from him. Did you hear what happened? He's saying that Jesus has revealed himself. He's now preaching Jesus Christ, even though he was once trying to destroy it. This is why Paul would say later in the letter, this is why he would always labor grace when it came to him or other sinners coming to faith in Christ. We have it in chapter 2, verse 21. It's on the screen. Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God. I'm not going to belittle it. I'm not going to rob God's grace and take away from it as if it doesn't matter. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Paul became completely convinced that all of his works, all of his advancements, all of his badges, all of his learnings, all of his doings, all of his trying to keep the law, all of that, he was convinced that it would not accomplish a thing. And he says, and if all that does accomplish something, he said, then Jesus died for no reason. Meaning, none of that accomplishes anything, therefore Christ died with a great purpose. Because only his righteousness, only his obedience, only his death, only his atonement can save. And Paul would labor his whole life this point, that he would boast nothing in what he achieved. He says, far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Christ. What is your story, brother and sister? Is your conversion and calling one of grace? Is your conversion and calling one of grace? And you might be thinking, well, I mean, that's Paul. Good grief. He was like really, 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 really bad. He needed a lot of grace. Is it just Paul? Absolutely not, it's just Paul. There's no way it's just Paul that's saved by grace. Because he says in the same letter right before this, in chapter 1, verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. So he's talking to churches. He's talking to believers. He says, he called you into grace. So do you have a testimony of grace? Can you bear witness? Can you bear witness that God has saved you freely fully favorably. That it's not something that you earned. That there's nothing lacking in the salvation and grace of God. And instead of the judgment we deserve, we have the smile and the favor and the steadfast love of God Almighty set unto us through Jesus Christ. Do you have a testimony to the grace of God? This is not just Paul talk. This is not just like a special kind of group of Christians that experience the grace of God and everybody else, it's grace and a bunch of things that we have to do to earn God's favor. No. It's grace. It's the full, free favor of God that saves sinners. Do you have a testimony of the saving grace of God in your life? Have you been called by His grace? Have you been called out of darkness into marvelous light? Is that your story? Have you been called into this grace? Has the Son been revealed to you? Has the Son been revealed in you? Have the eyes of your heart been enlightened and opened and awakened to the grace of God and the glory of the cross? Because to add anything to that nullifies and takes away of God's grace. And God is not about sharing any glory. If He saved you by grace, then He deserves glory for that. If He saves you by grace and stuff you do, then you can glory in some things. Let us not rob and strip and take away from the grace of God, but let us receive it, let us yield to it, let us treasure it, and let us sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." So in closing, we're going to sing this morning, "The Marvelous Grace, greater than all of our sin." I want to challenge you, is this your testimony? Is this your song? And is this your hope?